KOIN in
Portland. CBS News. The government of Honduras is taking action against two American banana firms. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. An announcement from Tegucigalpa Friday night said that the president of Honduras, Juan Milgar Castro, is canceling all contracts with two large American banana exporting companies. It's not clear whether this means a seizure of the firms, but the announcement did say land owned by the companies, which is not in use, will be turned over to peasants. Honduras also said it will pay for rail and shipping operations owned by the U.S. companies. The companies involved are Standard Fruit and the Teller Railroad Company, which is owned by United Brands. United was recently involved in a scandal, including allegations of a $1 million bribe paid to Honduran officials. The scandal was followed by a bloodless coup which overthrew President Osvaldo Lopez Arellano. More news in a moment.
Easy day, settle back. Pop the cap, bring on the great unexpected beer.
Michelob, it's an unexpected pleasure, and it's been that way ever since Anheuser-Busch rolled out the first Michelob barrel in 1896. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
If you have occasional annoying hemorrhoid symptoms, you may be using a medication that is only petroleum jelly, a lubricant that soothes. If you want more than soothing alone, use Preparation H. Preparation H not only brings prompt, temporary relief from occasional pain and itch in many cases, but Preparation H does more, goes beyond soothing. Preparation H actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. Preparation H goes beyond soothing. Ointment or suppositories. Use only as directed.
Secretary of State Kissinger has arrived in Vail, Colorado to meet with President Ford over the weekend. They'll be talking about Mideast developments. Kissinger may go to the Middle East next week to try to nail down an interim settlement between Egypt and Israel. There are reports such a settlement is near. The Press Trust of India reports that at least 200 staunch followers of the slain president of Bangladesh were killed with him in Friday's coup. The news service also reports that disturbances have broken out in some parts of Bangladesh following the army-led coup and the still unexplained death of President Mujibur Rahman. Bangladesh is still pretty much cut off from the outside world as far as communications go, but the conditions which led to the violent overthrow of the nation's leader are well known. A report from Peter Grant in Bangkok.
The 75 million people of Bangladesh are among the poorest in the world. Tens of thousands died of hunger last year alone during a famine caused by the worst floods in 20 years. Although Bangladesh has received immense quantities of foreign aid since it broke away from Pakistan, living conditions have probably deteriorated for most of the people. Food shortages and economic difficulties are only part of the problem, added to by political conflict. An estimated 3,000 political workers were killed in the past 3 years. The worsening law and order situation led Sheikh Mujibur Rahman to suspend the democratic constitution and assume dictatorial powers as president 8 months ago. Sheikh Mujib was less popular than when he took over as the nation's leader, but he was still regarded by observers as the one force holding Bangladesh together. Peter Grant for CBS News, Bangkok.
A new war of words may be brewing between the Ford administration and Congress over energy policy. The president announced Friday he'll veto that extension of domestic oil price controls which the lawmakers voted, but he pledged if they sustain the veto, he'll remove the $2 a barrel tariff on foreign oil. Several Democrats continue to take the position the domestic price controls should continue. And some say the president's pledge to remove the tariff is no bargain because a federal court has already thrown out the tariff. The president is appealing that decision. There's a report from New York saying a big break is coming in a matter of hours in the kidnapping of 21-year-old whiskey heir Samuel Bronfman II, abducted a week ago. A source close to the family told WCBS-TV Friday night, everything is going to break open in the next 24 hours. Now this.
Want to play McDonald's French fry word game?
Huh? Don't be shy.
Give it a try.
Think of a word.
Put in a fry.
What do you call a French fry with handlebars?
A fricycle.
Don't be a fry-ty kid. You fry.
If at first you don't succeed, fry again.
Fry in the sky.
Wow.
Okay. What's big and has four legs and a huge French fry at the end of its nose?
A rhinoceros.
Let's simplify things.
When a French fry nut is really hungry, what does he do? Get a large order of McDonald's world-famous fries. Get the large order of McDonald's fries. Hot, crisp, golden, and delicious. They're fritastic.
You're why the quality's high, because you deserve a break today. At McDonald's, we do it all for you. At McDonald's.
The Federal Trade Commission says there is a widespread consumer fraud in the $350 million a year health spa business. The FTC says health spa operators have been using false and misleading advertising and in some cases were selling memberships in spas that had not even been built. The FTC proposes a number of reforms, including a requirement that spas refund money to unhappy customers. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
The U.S. Center for Disease Control says recent cases of gastrointestinal illness at Crater Lake National Park are not the result of drinking treated water. The center says the 11 cases reported this week were relapses of the original illness earlier this summer. Several hundred such cases caused by contaminated water forced closure of the Oregon Park for several weeks this summer. Washington Senator Henry Jackson doesn't think much of a study calling him one of the most conservative, non-Southern Democrats in the Senate in the last 2 decades. Jackson, a presidential hopeful, says he has never seen, in his words, such debasement of the political currency as to what is a liberal and what is a conservative. Jackson made the comments while in Seattle. A pair of youths who stole a juvenile officer's car are the subject of an intensive search by law enforcement authorities in northern Idaho. The two youths, aged 15 and 16, took the car at gunpoint. Authorities say the youths are believed headed for the Canadian border. Deputies from two counties and Forest Service personnel are searching on the ground with the aid from the Civil Air Patrol. Employees and newsmen found themselves barricaded today in the personnel office of the Bonneville Power Administration by protesting Indians. The Indians are protesting treatment on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. In going to the BPA office, the Indians broke away from a police escort that would have taken them to a North Portland park. The group plans to return to Washington State. The federal government has reluctantly been sued by the Seattle School District in an effort to get a court determination on issues involved in desegregation programs. The court action seeks to stop, for the time being, the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare from awarding $200,000 in emergency aid to other school districts. The school district says it filed the suit reluctantly. The weather forecast for Portland, Vancouver, fair this evening. Cloudy Saturday and Saturday night with slight chance of drizzle or a little light rain. Sunny on Sunday after morning low clouds. Lows in the mid-50s. A little cooler with the highs in the mid to upper 70s. Chance of measurable rainfall 10% tonight, 20% on Saturday. The present temperature in downtown Portland, 62 degrees. That's KOIN News to 1108. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Could you suppose that suddenly one of the most simple functions in the world was denied you? That you couldn't, open a door or get out of bed or strike a match or swallow the food in front of you? Even if all the other mundane actions of life continued, would any normal process of living be feasible if in one area you were completely bewitched?
It's all right, Deborah. He's dead.
How do you know? Call a doctor. Get someone. How do you know?
Because this is exactly how I arranged it.
Arranged it?
Certainly. What better way to get you in my power?
Our mystery drama, The Unbearable Reflection, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Patricia Elliott and Mandel Kramer. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
There's a special kind of beer. Maybe you know it. Budweiser. It was created nearly a century ago by people who really cared about things, who took pride in brewing a quality beer, no matter what the cost. In time, in ingredients, in anything. Today, the people who brew the King of Beer still have that special pride. And every taste of Beechwood-aged Budweiser says so loud and clear. Hear it talking? Ah, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
People feel that we're becoming a nation of mannequins. Nothing but heartless clothes racks, no longer caring about or for each other's needs. They say we become blind to the suffering of the sick and the old, deaf to the pleas of the disadvantaged. If it's true, pity us, because it's not those of us who need help who are the handicapped. It's those of us who won't give it. I'm Nancy Wilson, asking you to have a heart and write Volunteer, Washington, D.C., 20013. It'll make you a better human being.
People who need people.
A public service of the Advertising Council and this station.
That looks for idols to worship. And one of our fetishes is beauty. Along with that goes another, success. By any measure, Deborah Denton qualifies. Miss America in a not-too-distant year, sometime movie star, and now wife of one of our biggest state's governors, a man who is of presidential timber. That's Debbie. She is everything to hold up to America, man and woman, as an example. A strict religious upbringing, beauty, success in many fields, a press agent's dream, except for one thing. What we see on the surface is exactly the opposite of the real Deborah Denton.
Zip me up, will you, darling?
I hate to. It makes it so final.
Ah, Nick, I'm already late. I'm going to have to burn up the parkway to get back in time for dinner.
You could have it with me.
Zip first, talk later. Ah, soon, Nicholas, my love. First, I have to get rid of my husband.
Divorce him?
Not while he's still a possible candidate. You don't want to be named as a co-respondent in a divorce suit that hits every headline, do you?
Let me buy your husband off, eh?
Unfortunately, that is the one thing you can't do.
I worship at your feet. How can I own you?
Oh, you are a marvelous lover, darling. Not only poetic, but so rich. And I must run.
I'll see you to the door.
Better not. Let's not take any chance of being seen together. Since the day I took my first step, I've known just where I wanted to go. From the beginning, men have been the central influence in my life. The first, my father. Hard, bigoted, blindly devoted to a barren, demanding religious fervor that he tried to force on everyone. My only way out was to run. Which I did, with the first man I could persuade I was old enough to take me across the state line. Fortunately, my father was drowned in a flood shortly after, so my little mouse of a mother came to stay with me and eventually provided me with enough wholesomeness to run for my first beauty contest. The rest of my story has been told in every newspaper across the country and around the world. But the true story will only be told here, as my last confession. As soon as I return to the governor's mansion, I immediately cross the hall to the private entrance of my husband's office. John, I'm back.
Come in. The door's open.
What are you doing here, Lewis?
Looking for a miracle.
What sort of a miracle do you expect to find in my husband's files?
Something, anything to use against the lieutenant governor.
Against Frank? Now, why would you, John's campaign manager, want to attack or hurt his running mate?
Deborah, where have you been all afternoon?
I've been shopping. What business is that of yours?
My dear Mrs. Denton, there's no need to look guilty. Why should I be interested in your whatever pursuits brought you home so glowing and alive and happy, even though empty-handed? I merely ask because obviously you haven't heard the news.
What news?
At a party luncheon, our esteemed senior Senator Walter Price announced that he was withdrawing his support for your husband in the coming campaign.
Why?
The stated reason was a disagreement over fundamental fiscal policies and Governor Stanton's lack of a firm stand on law and order. Your husband is no better than an also-ran after Price's speech today.
Where is John?
With Sam, the party boss.
Sam Waters won't desert him.
Sam Waters would cut his mother's throat without batting an eyelid, and your husband has been standing in his way for one term. That's more than enough.
What do you mean, standing in his way? John has been a wonderful governor, and everyone knows that this is only a stepping stone to...
to the presidency? That was your dream, wasn't it?
I don't intend to discuss that with you. What do you mean about John standing in Sam Waters' way?
Patronage, my dear lady. The name of the political game. There's been precious little of it since John took over the State House.
Because my husband happens to prize his honesty.
We've hitched our wagon to the wrong star. We'd both better begin to break out the parachutes and start looking for a nice soft landing.
Oh, so you're going to run out on John?
No, I'm not quite ready to. Are you?
Don't be ridiculous.
That is something I never am. I may be many of the things you say, but don't ever make the mistake of thinking me ridiculous.
I despise you, Lewis Stark. You are contemptible, conniving, evil, and totally dishonest. And when I tell my husband what you say behind his back, oh, wouldn't dare to tell him to his face.
I'll tell him when I'm ready.
He won't have to wait. I'll take care of that.
I doubt it. Unless, of course, you want me to tell him where you really were this afternoon.
What? Are you having me followed?
Oh, in a sense. You were at the Woodmere Motel from approximately 2 until 5 this afternoon. Quite a bit out of town, you know. You joined Mr. Joseph Martin in his private bungalow. Of course, we both know that that name is only a cover. His real name...
That is enough. What are you trying to find out?
Nothing yet. Patience is the one virtue I lay claim to. That sounds like the governor now. I guess you'd better leave us alone to put our heads together and see what we can pull out of the fire.
I went up to my room, seething. From the first moment I had laid eyes on that beady-eyed, sardonic little toad, I had hated him. I took a tranquilizer and some aspirin, and I sat down before my mirror to try to smooth out the worry lines. I opened my makeup drawer to make some repairs, and there, staring me in the face, was the ultimate irony. A birthday gift that Lewis had presented me with, a gun, to, quote, afford protection while my husband was out campaigning. Knowing now what he knew about me, oh, I would have liked to use it on this man who had given it to me, if only I could get away with it. I pushed the gun back out of sight. I knew that John disapproved of firearms. It was fortunate that I had pushed it back, because without his usual polite knock, John was suddenly in my room. Why, John, darling, you surprised me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just had some pretty bad news.
What?
It looks as though you're not going to be the governor's lady much longer.
Oh, you mean you've decided not to run again?
I mean the party has decided not to support me if I try to run.
Then run independently.
Not a chance. First of all, I haven't the money. I have no personal wealth, no sources to draw on.
Does it have to cost so much? If you go to the people, you know you have their support.
Yeah, I had. Till I cut the budget, raised taxes, tried to make the state solvent.
Well, you know that Sam and Lewis felt that you could have waited.
Oh, sure. Sam and Lewis aren't interested in principles or the public good, only votes. Everything I've tried to do to help the little guy, I mean, the kind of man I consider myself, it'd be twisted into a mistake if your code of honor is politics first.
Well, perhaps it was a mistake to veto the death penalty when you knew everyone was up in arms at the appalling crime rate.
I would always veto that. In my opinion, it's against the morality of both man and God.
All right, my darling. We won't argue about it. Now, here. Let me sit with you for a minute.
Oh, Debbie, darling, I really don't care for myself. As a matter of fact, in a way, I'm relieved.
Relieved?
Yes. We can live our own lives now. Start having the first of those children we should have had already. Enjoy and get the most out of life for ourselves.
What will you be doing for a living?
Oh, go back to the law.
Oh, at that same pokey little firm?
I imagine they'd be glad to have me back. And I suppose reflected glory could get me in with some of the bigger firms.
Come on, darling. We'd better get dressed for the Chamber of Commerce dinner tonight.
Debbie, you know, sometimes I wonder if you really love me. Or is it just the glamour and all the expectations for the future?
Oh, be careful, my darling. Now, don't muss me, please.
Well, I'm just rubbing against your hair. Oh, beautiful you are. And yeah, look at your reflection in the mirror. Was there ever a more beautiful woman? You know, Debbie, sometimes I think for all my beliefs and my hatred for violence, if I ever found out there was anyone who wanted to steal you from me, if I ever suspected for a moment that some other man dared or you permitted him intimacies which are ours alone, I think I would revert to the animal that lives in all of us. And destroy all three. You, me, and... Oh, forgive me, darling. I don't know what came over me talking nonsense like that. It's just that I love you so.
The Chamber of Commerce dinner was long and tedious. I was sent home early with the lieutenant governor's wife. But not before Lewis had informed me that John, contrary to his normal habits, had been drinking quite a bit. But he assured me that it would be all right and that he would make sure he got safely home. I was sitting at my dressing table taking off my makeup when suddenly, impossibly, Lewis was beside me, visibly shaken and frantic.
Deborah.
How the devil did you get in here?
That doesn't matter for the moment. I'm here to tell you to lock your door when I leave. And whatever you do, don't let John come in. And remember the pistol I gave you.
What are you talking about?
He's found out about you and Nicholas.
How?
Never mind how. When I left him, he was loading his hunting rifle. For heaven's sake, when I leave, lock your door.
Are you suggesting that I should be afraid of John, the most...
Debbie, he is not himself. He's out of his mind. Good Lord, here he comes. Defend yourself, Deborah. Get your gun. He's out for blood.
Debbie! Tell me it isn't true. For God's sake, not now. Not you deserting me.
John! John, put down that gun!
What gun? Tell me it isn't true about you and Nicholas, Aaron Joglu, or by heaven, I...
No! God! No! Oh, John!
It's all right, Deborah. He's dead. Quite dead.
How do you know? Call a doctor. Get someone here. How do you know?
Because this is exactly how I arranged it.
Arranged it?
Certainly. What better way to get you in my power?
Hello?
Do you feel there's something strangely out of kilter in this sudden event? Something that does not ring quite true? Or perhaps a better phrase is something unnatural? For we have just passed the boundaries of a finite world to the supernatural, the unexplained, the terror of something beyond a human being's ability to have foreseen, or, now that it has happened, to cope with. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
I'm Hi Brown, producer of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. As all Mystery Theater fans know, we and Walt Disney World are offering you an exciting series of weekly prize drawings. The grand prize each week takes four lucky people on an all-expense-paid vacation trip to fabulous Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. And right now, it gives me great pleasure to announce the name of our first week's top winner. Are you ready? It's 11-year-old Mike Honig of Fort Madison, Iowa. Congratulations. And 100 other people who entered our contest will each receive a neatly styled Mickey Mouse wristwatch. They'll be notified by mail. There's no mystery at all about how easy it is to enter this contest. Just stay tuned, and at the end of the next act of Mystery Theater, I'll give you the short and simple details. Let's hear from you. Enter as often as you wish, and good luck.
In God We Trust, America Speaks.
From Abraham Lincoln's creed, I believe in God, the almighty ruler of nations, our great and good and merciful maker, our Father in heaven, who notes the fall of a sparrow and numbers the hairs on our heads. I have a solemn vow registered in heaven to finish the work I am in full view of my responsibility to my God, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives me to see the right.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Seldom in life has Deborah Denton committed an act not motivated by her own volition. But on this one of very few times, she has done what would have seemed impossible to her. She has lost her head completely and committed homicide. Not only that, but in front of a witness. The last witness in the world she would have wanted to be there. Instinct tells her that she is caught in a trap. But more than that, some unfathomable prescience sounds a knell within her that the trap is worse than could humanly be possible.
What do you mean, in your power?
You just murdered your husband in front of me.
It wasn't murder. It was self-defense. You saw he was going to kill me.
Kill you with what?
With the hunting rifle.
What rifle?
The one he had in his hands. The one...
I don't see any gun in his hands or anywhere near him.
But you said that he...
Did had... I? I don't think I remember that.
But you must. Now, you burst in here, and you said that John had been drinking at the dinner, and that he was loading his rifle, and that he knew about Nicholas
My
and me.
My dear Deborah, John Stanton drunk? And loading a rifle when you knew his aversion to guns of any kind? Would anyone believe he could even use a gun? And how could he have found out about you and Nicholas?
I don't know. From you, I suppose.
Now, really. Why should I make trouble between you and John? And I didn't burst in here.
Oh, at least that's the truth. How did you get in here?
Well, that's another matter.
Which I don't care about for the moment. You are a witness. And hostile or not, any good lawyer will catch you in your lies and your tricks as soon as he gets you on a stand.
Only he won't.
Why not?
Because I'm not here. The servants have heard the shots and sent for the police.
When they come, they'll find you and the dead man alone.
You can't get out of this house without being seen.
Can't I? Watch.
Lewis. Lewis. Lewis, where are you?
Here I am, Deborah.
I don't know what's happening. I must be going crazy. It's a dream. That's all. A dream.
Oh, no, it isn't. Not at all. But it can be.
How?
I'm quite aware how you feel about me. But have you ever wondered how I feel about you? Of course you haven't. I'm dirt under your feet. Now, I warned you not to underestimate me. Now, I might be able to help you if...
Who are you? You're inhuman.
I think perhaps that's a fair statement. It was really amusing when you first saw me in your room that you should have chosen to say, "What the devil are you doing here?"
Is that who you are?
Satan himself? Oh, no, no, my dear. Nothing quite so grandiose. Just a minor demon, a faithful henchman of the anti-faith.
Oh, it has to be a dream.
There can be no changing the fact that John is dead. That's a fait accompli. But the manner of his death, the place where it happened, and the time can be arranged to suit our convenience, or rather yours, in such a way that you will appear to have had nothing to do with it.
And in return, I sign a paper in blood selling you my soul.
Oh, now really, Deborah? Surely you don't subscribe to that old-fashioned medieval nonsense? This is the 20th century. Why would I want your soul?
I don't know. I mean... Isn't that what is always required when you...
Traffic with the devil? I wouldn't know. I told you I'm only minor league. Besides, your soul is committed to hell already, my dear.
Then what do you ask in exchange?
Your body, my beautiful one. Your soul has no interest for me.
You must be mad. All right. We'll play it your way. We'll pretend this farce is real. Now, what could you do about John?
Set the clock back. John did have a couple of drinks. He left the hotel alone in his car. On the way home, he lost control and smashed into a wall. The car was totaled and he was instantly killed.
And me?
You were already at home. You were having a long talk with the housekeeper when it happened about getting a new maid.
How could you know that?
I put the idea in your head.
Why?
For reasons of my own, which you will discover later.
You can arrange all this.
In exchange for you?
No.
I was afraid of that.
You are loathsome and disgusting to me. I don't need your help, and I can get through this by myself.
I wouldn't put it past you. It'd be hard to find a jury to convict you, or at least condemn you to death.
John does have a rifle. It'll be beside him by the time the police get here.
Then you'd better hurry.
No. Ha! I might as well be dead or in hell if I belong to you.
Very well. I'll make you one last offer.
What?
If I can't have you yourself, I'll settle for the vicarious. Sell me your reflection.
My reflection?
That other self who looks back at you from the mirror.
All right. Yes. Yes.
It's almost too late. Quickly. Here. Quickly. Sign here.
There.
And the pact is made.
There was a shatter and flash, and a wild feeling as though the world had stopped spinning on its axis. I was conscious that the police siren had cut off as though by a switch being thrown, and that John's body and Lewis had disappeared. The last thing I remember in my half-consciousness was the fantastic sight of the glass fragments from the broken vanity mirror which one of my shots had scattered, lifting and gathering in the air and coming together into the mirror again. And then I must have fainted. I was awakened by a soft but insisting knocking at my door. Just a minute. Who is it?
It's Elspeth, Mrs. Denton, ma'am.
Who?
Mr. Lewis Stark said you'd be needing me.
Lewis Stark? Just a moment. I'll unlock the door and let you in.
Oh, that won't be necessary. Here, let me help you up.
No. No, don't touch me. Who are you?
Why, Mr. Stark told me you and your housekeeper had been discussing your needing a lady's maid, so I came to apply.
At this time of night?
He said it might be sort of urgent, and that you might be needing someone with my special sort of references.
And what are those?
You should sit down, ma'am. Here, by your vanity table.
Oh, thank you. I am a bit shaky.
It's why Mr. Stark thought of me.
What are you, a nurse?
Nothing like that. Just what I am. Just what you need.
Well, if I do, it's not tonight. I don't want you here tonight.
Are you sure, ma'am?
Of course I... What do you mean?
Look in the mirror, Mrs. Denton.
I don't want to look in the mirror. I can imagine after the nightmares I've been having what I...
Look in the mirror.
Oh, anything for a little peace.
Now, do you see why you need someone like me around?
What else showed me in the mirror was... nothing. Reflected in the background were all the normal things I expected to see. The Austrian curtain draped by the window, a sampler which my mother had needle-pointed for me, the great canopy bed to my left, and to the right, the chaise lounge and part of the closet door. But in the center of all... in the center of all, where I should have been, was nothing. I don't mean a blank or the outline of a shape, just nothing at all. As though the mirror reflected only an empty room.
You see?
But I... it can't be. Oh, give me my hand glass.
Here, madam. Well?
Nothing. The same. Oh, my... what am I going to do?
That's why Mr. Lewis Stark thought you might have need of me.
How can you help? Can you bring my likeness back?
No, but I can protect you.
How?
First, by keeping people away from you. Or more important, you away from them.
But if John is dead, I can't just hide.
No. But you could have need for a nurse, someone to take care of you. We can establish the shock of his passing has brought on a skin disease you wish to cloak from anyone's eyes, particularly from your own.
How will that help?
A logical reason for getting rid of all the mirrors in the house, for guarding against the surprise photographer, for concealing the truth, as long as you must be in the public eye. Shall I get it for you?
No, I'll get it. At least I'm safe on the phone. Hello?
Baby?
Oh, it's you.
Can you talk?
Just a moment. Would you mind leaving me alone, please?
To talk to Niklos? Or should I use the cover name?
Damn you!
Since we are sisters under the skin, I shall quietly disappear.
Hello?
All right.
But we can talk now, Nikki. What is it?
I just heard the news.
News?
About John. On my car radio. Is it true?
What did they say?
Just that he apparently lost control of his car on the parkway and smashed into the wall of an underpass. And that he must have been killed instantly.
Oh, thanks, Peter.
What did you say? Oh, Debbie, you know, don't you? I mean...
It's all right. I know.
Oh, for a moment there, I thought I'd made... well, I don't mean to be ghoulish, but... I have a wonderful idea for us.
What?
You are a grieving widow. What is more natural that you should want to get away? You go to Europe on a trip and steal away to my island. Oh, I have such a room for us, all glass. What is not windows to the sun and sea is mirrors. I can see you there, my darling. Not just the magic of you alone, but reflection after reflection.
Maggie!
Oh, I'm sorry. I got carried away. You'll forgive me. But I want you so. I need you so. And I want you to be my bride. Once you are, I will buy you the world.
Oh, my darling, I want that too. I just... Give me time to think. I'll call you tomorrow. Oh, what am I going to do?
You see what I meant? Especially if...
What?
Especially if you have a lover or wish to take another husband. How do you explain you have no reflection in the mirror or in a still pond or a store window passing by or even no shadow in the brightest sunlight?
You don't have to keep reminding me. I know how I've been cheated.
Not cheated, ma'am. Just outmaneuvered. How could you expect to win when the devil held the dice?
That Deborah Denton schemed to gain. Wealth beyond imagining as Niklos Sarinjuglo's wife seems now denied her. Can she outwit the devil? Or is she already doomed? A haunted figure who casts neither shadow nor reflection, set apart forever from everyone else. I shall return shortly with Act 3.
I'm High Brown, director of Mystery Theater. This month, we in Walt Disney World are giving 16 lucky people all-expense-paid vacations at Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. Just send your name and address, and each week in August, we'll select the lucky winners in random drawings. You can win a week of fun for four at the Vacation Kingdom of the World. Fly first class, stay in the Dutch Inn, get free tickets to all rides and attractions in the Magic Kingdom, including Disney's spectacular bicentennial celebration, America on Parade. There are 400 Mickey Mouse watches as prizes also. Send your name and address to Mystery Theater, P.O. Box 1, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. Contest void where prohibited. Employees of CBS and Walt Disney not eligible. Write today. Mystery Theater, P.O. Box 1, Radio City Station, New York. Entries received by September 3 are eligible for at least one drawing. Winners will be notified by mail.
I like the way the forest sounds. The way the leaves rustle in the wind and fall to the ground and crunch under your feet. The way the birds sing and the chipmunks chatter. The way a squirrel scrambles up a tree. I like the way the forest smells, too. The air's fresh. And you can tell the difference between one kind of tree and another just by smelling them. But did you know we can destroy all that beauty in just one careless second? That's why I'm asking you to please be careful with fire. Because when we lose a forest, we lose a lot more than meets the eye. I ought to know. I'm Ray Charles.
A public service on behalf of the Forest Service, State Foresters, and the Ad Council.
The next 3 days were the most difficult of Deborah Denton's life. Heavily veiled, even though it was summer, constantly on the lookout for a revealing mirror or the flash of a camera before she had a chance to hide behind someone. She was physically exhausted by the time the body was at last interred. And of all the interviews, the most unsettling and frightening to her was a stolen few minutes with Niklos.
My deepest condolences, Mrs. Denton.
Thank you, Niklos.
I waited till the end of the line. Can't we be alone for a moment?
So kind of you to send those lovely flowers.
I can't, Nick. Not here.
I had nothing but admiration for the governor. There, it's important. He was a fine man, and the state will mourn his loss.
We all will. You can walk me to the hall. I'll pretend to feel faint.
Mrs. Denton, are you all right?
Oh, just a little faint.
Ah.
I'm all right, ladies and gentlemen. I just need to rest. Niklos, if you will be good enough to give me your arm to the stairs, please, please forgive me. I'll try to join you again later.
Just lean on me, Mrs. Denton.
Oh.
Let me get the door.
Oh, thank you. Who is that young woman you brought with you?
That is my niece. That is why I have to talk to you. I have to get her back to Greece very soon.
No, no, wait. Wait for me.
I can meet you there as we planned, or come back for you.
No, no, don't leave me now. I need you.
Oh, you're not well, Debbie. Not yourself. Maybe we should wait until the...
Until what?
Till the rash or whatever it is that makes you wear that veil.
Oh, that is nothing. Can't I see you tonight, my darling?
Why don't you phone me after?
What is it?
I don't know. Crazy, but I happened to be looking at that mirror as we passed, and I could swear...
What mirror?
That one. Hanging over the chest.
Who put that back?
I don't know. But it was so strange, I could swear, looking in it, that I was all alone.
Oh, don't be silly.
No, come back just a moment.
I have got to lie down. Are you trying to change the subject?
No, I...
Well, what about tonight?
Call me later and check. You know where.
I doubt if many men could appreciate, but I'm sure every woman can, the agonizing frustration of being deprived of the use of a mirror or anything in which one can view oneself. The terror of feeling that you are alive no longer, that you only exist for yourself. Furtively, I found a small mirror from an old pocketbook and checked. Oh, no matter what the angle, there was still no answering image of my face. And I could not rid myself of the sight of the beautiful young woman that Niklos called his niece. I doubted her, hated her, was sick with jealousy for her. Oh, not for Nick himself, but for the wealth and power he meant to me. Now that John was gone, I was ready to crawl, to beg, to plead for any small chance from the vile thing that had become my master.
You wanted to see me, Deborah?
Yes, Lewis. Someone hung a mirror in the hall. Do you know about it?
Why, yes. I had it replaced.
Why?
Hundreds of people have come to pay their respects to the late governor. Half of them women. Mirror may not be a necessity, but the total absence of any is missed.
I don't believe you. You had it hung to torture me.
Or just to remind you.
I want my reflection back.
Are you sure?
Sure. I am sure of nothing, thanks to you. Oh, I know I made some kind of pact with you, and I don't expect any mercy, but I hope, I beg, that there is some life left for me. If I am to be dragged at last into a hell that is as eternal and is as devastatingly destructive as the last days have been, I am asking you for some last fling at life before you and yours swallow me up forever.
You're worried about Niklos and his niece.
Yes.
And quite right. The relationship is close, but not familial.
Do you mean that she... Oh, that...
Of course she's not his niece. But then in spite of her desires, she's not yet been able to capture his entirely.
You are a master at this, aren't you? To turn a person slowly on the spit, never burning, only scorching.
We're two of a kind. How many men have you turned on the spit? Hopelessly bound and tied by your beauty and promise, only to abandon them after their purpose had served yours.
Supposing I admit it, will that gain me any comradeship with you?
What is it you want?
so little. My mirror image back again.
You're sure that's all?
That is all I dare to ask, isn't it?
And how will it serve you?
Even at the simplest level. A woman cannot live without a reflection. She needs it to begin, live, end her day.
And for your sort of woman to reaffirm your strength. For what are you without beauty?
Oh, you knew so well when you took it from me I would be back on my knees to beg for it. I was damned the day I agreed. I can't live as ordinary people do. I need Nikki's money, position, power.
Neither can the rest of us.
The rest of us?
We, the powers of darkness, the strength of the world, which will ultimately make it our own.
I don't mean to align myself with you.
How can you help it anymore? Just let me warn you, Deborah. If I return your image, it may not be what you expect to see.
It will be what I want the world to see.
Can you be so sure?
It will be me, won't it?
Of course.
I'll sign anything more for that chance.
There's no need for that. Call your lover. Win him back from his niece, if you can. By the time you two can meet, your mirror image will have returned.
I want it now.
Some things are possible, but not all. You must wait until you meet him again.
Maybe we shouldn't rush things. There is still time to...
You are a fantastically attractive man, my darling, but I don't quite trust that niece of yours. Oh, come to me. Make it 10 o'clock. It'll be nice and dark by then. And Elspeth will be waiting. Do I expect you?
You know, all you have to do is ask. I'll be there.
I hung up the phone and sat for a long time thinking. I couldn't rest. So I called Elspeth and made arrangements for Nicholas to be admitted to the house.
If you're sure you want me to, Mrs.
What
Denton.
What are you talking about, Elspeth? I told you I did. Why wouldn't I want you to?
Well, I'm sure it's none of my business, but if I were you, I might talk it over with Mr. Stark.
Why?
Oh, he's the only one who could answer that, ma'am.
Something about that long, set, grinned face troubled me. I realized suddenly that it was the almost imperceptibly twisted, evil smile breaking the tight line of her mouth. I could feel my heart drop like a stone into a dark and bottomless pit. And suddenly, Lewis Stark, whoever or whatever he was standing before me. Lewis!
It's 9 o'clock. I thought you should have time to think things over.
What are you doing here?
Oh, don't worry, I shall be gone long before your lover appears. If you're sure you want him to.
Why don't you leave me alone? Haven't you done enough to me?
This time I thought I would do a kindness. You wanted your reflection back.
You promised me.
As you are. I thought perhaps you'd better look at it before your lover comes. Look. I promise you it is a perfect mirror image of you.
For some reason, I am afraid to look.
What you see, everyone else will see. Remember, it is your true reflection, and you live or die by it.
What does that mean?
See for yourself.
I will. But by myself. This time the gun is loaded. I want you out of here.
Look on yourself, Deborah.
I had no will of my own for that moment. Standing with the gun in my hand, I turned to the mirror which Elspeth had restored to the vanity. And there I saw a loathsome parody of myself. The hair twisting and writhing about my face like black snakes. The iris of my eyes dull muddy brown with great dark bruises beneath them. My nose hooked as fiercely as an eagle. My lips drawn in a snarl, their
purple color stretched to a death white over two great canine teeth leering back at me as lasciviously as any vampire's.
Is that what you want your lover to see?
No, that isn't me.
The real you.
No, I'll kill it.
If you do, you kill yourself.
Then to hell with both of us.
Oh, God, no.
John! No, John!
It's all right, Deborah. He's dead. Just as dead as always. Only one difference.
What?
It will take time. The trial, the headlines, jail, and then the long wait for the death sentence to be carried out. Everything your husband fought against.
How do you know? How can you be so sure?
Because we're right back where we started. This is exactly how I arranged it.
Arranged it?
What better way to get you in my power, Deborah? This time, forever.
No need to dwell on a sensational trial and the most ironical of circumstance that a governor who was forced to sign a bill reestablishing the death sentence in his state made his wife the first victim, as he himself was the first victimized. I'll be back in a moment.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
As a girl, I had certain aspirations for myself that were not quite the same as the aspirations that others had for me. Daddy, when I grow up, I want to be president.
That's nice, honey. Of what?
The United States.
Don't be ridiculous, dear. The best you can hope for is first lady.
Even when I got older, things weren't much better. Dad, I want to go to law school and have my own practice.
But, dear, wouldn't you rather go to charm school and have a big wedding?
But today, a woman can do anything a man can. Take the car I just bought, a Buick Century. Not cute, but sporty and good-looking. The kind of car only men are supposed to know about. When I told my father the Century was the only American-made mid-size car with a V6 engine, he was surprised. When I told him about the great deal I got on the Century, he was impressed and said I would make somebody a good wife. Then when I told him I was running for Congress, he bit off the arm of his chair.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
The most damaging witness at the trial of Mrs. Denton, wife of the former governor, was Lewis Stark, who reluctantly but devastatingly, under questioning, sealed her death warrant. The audience was sorry for this seemingly sympathetic and unhappy man. But then, as Elizabeth Barrett Browning said, the devil's most devilish when respectable. Our cast included Patricia Elliott, Mandel Kramer, Robert Dryden, and Carol Tytel. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Hello, Louise.
George. Oh, George, dear, have any news?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Well, let's just say it's news.
Did you find the man who killed my father?
No.
Oh, that's the only news I care about. And it's the only reason I hired you. To find the man who killed my father.
Louise, I found your father's killer.
But you just said you didn't find the man who killed him.
The killer wasn't a man.
He wasn't? You mean a woman killed my father?
Yeah.
Who? Who is she? Tell me.
You mean you don't know who she is?
Of course not.
You. You, Louise. You're the guilty one. You killed your own father.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams. Thank you.
This is Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow, and have a lovely weekend. Stay tuned for CBS News on KOIN in Portland. Then Pat Callahan will entertain you from midnight to 6.
CBS News. Secretary of State Kissinger has gone to Vail, Colorado to brief President Ford on progress toward an interim Middle East peace accord, with a return to shuttle diplomacy expected next week. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The secretary told reporters as he arrived at the Rocky Mountain Resort that considerable progress had been made in negotiations on a second stage troop disengagement in the Sinai, but added, "I don't want to characterize it as a breakthrough yet." The secretary will brief Mr. Ford today on negotiations this week in Washington between United States and Israeli officials. Asked about a resumption of his shuttle diplomacy in the Middle East, Kissinger said, "We'll have to see in the next few days," indicating much hinges on action of the Israeli cabinet, which will review the latest negotiations in its Sunday session. But from the Middle East come persistent reports. Kissinger will be in Tel Aviv next Wednesday and Alexandria next Friday. CBS News continues following this message.
He turned to gimmicks to pull in crowds. Greased pig chases before the game. A mechanical rabbit popping up behind the umpire with a supply of new balls. Half-price tickets for bald men. The scene is the flamboyant world of Charles O. Finley, owner, president, and remote control field manager of the champion Oakland A's. The writing is from Time Magazine's cover story this week on the Barnum of baseball, what he's doing to and for the game. This week, every week, Time puts a world of information at your fingertips. Pick up a copy today.
One minute, you're Lenny Bruce's wife, and the next, you're W.C. Fields' mistress. It could only happen in Hollywood, to actress Valerie Perrine. I'm Jerry Dunphy, your host for Entertainment West, heard every Saturday over most of these CBS Radio Network stations. Tomorrow, I'll be chatting with Valerie, who's busy co-starring with Rod Steiger in a new film called W.C. Fields and Me, about her role in the film, which she doesn't particularly like. That's Entertainment West, tomorrow, on the CBS Radio Network.
A number of congressional Democrats are critical of President Ford's decision to veto the bill to extend for 6 months price controls on domestic oil that are due to expire August 31st. The president has said if Congress sustains his veto, he'll drop the $2 a gallon tariff he imposed on imported oil. But Senator Hubert Humphrey, for one, says Mr. Ford really isn't getting anywhere with those two moves.
This is a no-win proposition. Mr. Ford, regrettably, is locked in to a dogmatic position that has no relationship to fact. He talks about the market and the free forces of market competition. There is none. He knows it, and I know it. The price of oil is set by the OPEC countries.
Senator Humphrey's reference to OPEC, meaning, of course, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. The British tanker Gloptic Sun still is reported burning so fiercely no one can attempt to board her. The ship collided early Friday with an unmanned oil drilling platform in the Gulf of Mexico, about 185 miles from New Orleans. Six of the 46 crewmen aboard still are listed as missing. The airport at Dhaka, Bangladesh, remains closed. All direct communication with the country still is out. Broadcast by Radio Bangladesh report, however, all has returned to normal one day after a military coup in which President Mujibur Rahman was killed. New President Kandahar Mustaq Ahmed is reported to have formed a 10-man civilian cabinet of former Rahman ministers. The Press Trust of India reported at least 200 staunch Rahman supporters killed in the coup. That report later was withdrawn, not, says PTI, because of inaccuracy, but on orders of the Indian censor. CBS News correspondent Bernard Kalb has more on the Bangladesh story from Washington.
The State Department says that all Americans in Bangladesh, about 820, appear to be safe, the same for American property there. Of the Americans now in that country, 45 are U.S. officials, another 50 or so their dependents, the remaining 700-plus private Americans, such as businessmen, journalists, and others. The State Department spokesman also suggested that there would be no problem insofar as U.S. recognition of the new regime is concerned. "We've had no direct request for recognition, so the question hasn't arisen," he said, adding that when we are approached, we will be prepared to conduct normal business. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
Now this.
Have you entered the fabulous CBS Radio Mystery Theater Contest? It's in full swing right now, and will continue all through the month of August. Listen to the Mystery Theater today for details on how to enter. You can win an all-expense-paid, 7-day, 6-night vacation at Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. Each winner can take 3 people to Disney's Vacation Kingdom of the World. 16 people in all will be our guests. You'll fly first class and stay in luxurious accommodations. You'll see Disney's spectacular bicentennial celebration, America on Parade. You'll receive free tickets to all attractions at Walt Disney World. You can swim, golf, play tennis, ride horseback, camp, and dine in elegance. We have 400 Mickey Mouse watches for runners-up. There'll be weekly winners all this month. 16 people in all will have the chance to enjoy these free trips to the Vacation Kingdom of the World, Walt Disney World. Listen to CBS Radio Mystery Theater today on this station for all the contest details. Promotional consideration by Walt Disney World.
New contacts have been reported between the abductors of Seagram's liquor heir Samuel Bronfman and his family 1 week after his reported kidnapping. WCBS-TV in New York quoted a family source as saying, "Everything is going to break open in the next 24 hours." There was no amplification of that statement, however. Mike Stanley, CBS News.